Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This will be my final case, archival or otherwise. The investigation I have conducted when I arrived at the forest has led me to the foregone conclusion that I will never be able to return to my home or the Mortician's Network, except as another case file. I would like to thank everyone who has enjoyed my work, and I hope that someone else is able to find that network, as there is still so much more to archive, and I appreciate the interest in my work. As I mentioned earlier, the ex-mortician has become a vassal of the rake that appeared in my apartment. I grabbed my survival gear, as the rake had asked for help. A sentence I never thought I would have to write. The rake disappeared, but I was still aware of its presence, like a spike thrust into my skull. The ex-mortician and I drove to a national forest, following the blur that was the rake, as it herded my driving to where it wanted. Retrieving my gear I collected, I start my slow hike to the woods. The rake, my guide. It didn't like me being slow, but given that I was still recovering from my gunshot there, speed was not a factor I could contribute to for long stretches of time. The ex-mortician was silent throughout this entire enterprise, which wasn't a shock to me. For miles, we trekked through the woods, which had an odd sense to them. It was like being wrapped in a blanket of warmth and stinging needles. Pleasant, but painful. As we got closer to where the rake was leading us, I stopped. I remember being briefly stationed in a U.S. base, secreted within the Russian wilderness. It was only for a few weeks, but I could barely remember it. And now I know why. The U.S. base was small, barely bigger than the base that was overrun, possibly by doppelgangers. Small number of personnel meant fewer resources and lower amounts of equipment, which further equates to less chance of being spotted. But what the Pentagon failed to take into consideration was the presence of other beings on this planet, whose existence is either redacted, blatantly disregarded, or met with dismissive hostility. As documented in my earlier case files, we are not alone on this planet, from known cryptids to whatever did that to that town centuries ago. But most folklore is restricted to particular regions of the world, or so we have been led to believe. One of the main infamous cryptids slash monsters of folklore in Russia is Baba Yaga, the Russian version of Witch in the Woods. Whether she will help or hinder are based on factors I will never figure out. But looking at what I was seeing in front of us in a national forest in the USA, I remembered my encounter with Baba Yaga in Russia, including its walking house on bird legs. I was on a routine path within 12 hours of my arrival at the Russian forward scouting base. Patrols were random and executed by one person. I was patrolling at 0419 when it arrived. I felt a shift in the forest, but at the time was not aware of the Baba Yaga who ruled the forest we were in. I was 12 minutes into my patrol when I walked out of a mist that appeared out of nowhere. The only other thing of note at the time was I had a resounding headache, but I persevered. This house descended towards me slowly, and I became aware of the attention I was being burdened with. The legs crouched down, and the door opened when it got low enough. A woman stood there, her features seeming to shift like a mirage. The features went from attractive to repulsive, but they never seemed to settle. All it seemed to do was compound my headache. Baba Yaga greeted me and beckoned me to enter her hut. While my commanding officer likely would have disagreed with me, I hoped the change of scenery would diminish my pounding headache. I agreed that I would, but I was unable to step up to the hut as it was still a good 15 feet in the air. "Take the stairs," was the response as a staircase appeared before me. Carefully, I strode up and entered this hut. Once crossing the threshold, my headache was gone, and I thanked the woman for her hospitality. She thanked me for the courtesy, saying I was a nice young man. Then the side of me I had been under control since a child started to rise up. It was something I had made myself aware of so I could maintain control. But here it was, like a cobra, poised to strike. The woman didn't seem to pay any mind as I fought for control of my own body. That part I had kept controlled wanted to shoot the woman, but I was able to keep control. As soon as I ejected the magazine and thrust my weapon away, she turned to me and smirked. I was suddenly very aware of the predicaments I had blundered into. She seemed to notice, and noted that I was a smart boy. Then her eyes seemed to soften. "But a broken boy, too," she said softly. She stepped towards me, then hissed.
"Empty boy, void stricken."
Next thing I was consciously aware of was I was being shipped off home. But one thing I did overhear before I left was there was another set of incomplete stairs in the woods. And now I see another set of incomplete stairs in this forest. And what is worse is I see a chicken-legged hut. Dead. As I approach the legs, I can see that they are wooden, and somehow blood was oozing from the wounds inflicted upon them. Walking the 30 feet to get to the capsized hut, I can see military uniforms, but the creatures in them are not human. Dogmen, German shepherds, and a couple of bloodhounds by the looks. They were dead. There was a mass of gray flesh, next to which stood the rake. It looked at me, and I felt a crushing sadness within me.
"Too late. Mistress dead,"
it sounded within my head. It walked up to the ex-mortician, and with a casual swipe of its claws, sliced his stomach wide open. He slumped to the ground, and just lay there, as the rake ate him. The dogmen were wearing military dog tags, but I didn't recognize the names. I was unsure of what to do, or if the rake would eat me next. Suddenly, a loud crashing noise ripped through the air. The hut had flipped upside down and was sinking into the ground, as was the mass that must have been the Baba Yaga. The staircase shuddered for a moment before collapsing, then rebuilding itself upside down. I remember listening to the encounters people have had with the stairs in the forest, and how they felt creeped out by them, or the superstition surrounding them. Then I knew. Baba Yaga was here, and brought her sisters with her. They lived within hundreds of miles of forest. Some of those cryptid encounters were likely victims of Baba Yaga who had insulted them, so the Baba Yaga sought retribution. They would curse those humans and force them to live how they were changed. Then, I turned to the rake.
"That's how you came to be, isn't it? You each belong to a Baba Yaga, like a faithful companion," I say, as I turn to the rake as it finishes consuming. It nodded once and stared at me. A thudding noise boomed in the distance, and it is starting to come closer. Another Baba Yaga is coming to see her fallen sister, and I doubt the rake will let me leave. So, like I said, this is my final archive. I appreciated the enormity of the task that once laid before me, but I do not think I will be able to return to it. So that is likely my final request. If you can, please find the Mortician's Network and continue what was once my task.
Automated message. "Hello, Harold. If you're reading this, I'm either dead or have been missing for over 7 months. As you had backdoor access into the program I used for browsing the deep web, I figure you have read into my case files. I'm sorry I was unable to inform you of this, but I think you will understand why I decided to not inform you. But since this is likely my last report, this will be more observation than fact. But the spiderweb of deceit in regards to cryptids and related fatalities is surprising from what I have been able to ascertain. Something I've noticed is 4chan. Regarded in a non-positive light, I found it unusual that some of the monsters were created on that site. Making a monster is how it was referred to. And given the photos they apparently photoshopped and otherwise manipulated, those images are not as doctored as we have been led to believe. The creatures are actually there, but because they doctor over the photo subject, it indicates that the creature is a creation. The reason why I find this odd is the fact that 4chan has been cited as a resource for the mainstream for larger new stories. However, as previously referred, 4chan is not that reputable. But the elevation the website has gained when used as a reference point, it struck me as odd. Unless it is part of a misdirection campaign, which is what I theorize. Missing 411 is intriguing, as there are some correlation between bodies examined and cases referenced. But there doesn't seem to be anyone trying to shut it down, though that is more likely due to internet discourse. But the few attempts to besmirch the person who is following these cases have not been very successful. I am well aware of how this sounds, like a conspiracy dreamed up by people with low IQs and a hidden puppet complex. But there is only one piece of this puzzle. Fear. It is easier to mischaracterize these as animal attacks, or they just wandered off, any excuse to hand-wave the unusual or downright bizarre. Local papers won't admit that search and rescue officers have no clue, despite following the evidence, because the outcome doesn't work. They follow the tracks, the logical progressions in logic, but no clues or conclusions are encountered. As you can reasonably conclude, there are a fair amount of missing 411 bodies that have been autopsied and cataloged. As my final archival entry, I will include two below. One with cryptid involvement, the other is just unexplainable. 411 corpse. Confirmed cryptid involvement. In 1938, the individual involved disappeared from a family excursion throughout a location that is not to be disclosed given the nature of the cryptid involvement. After the requisite searches, the individual was deemed lost, though the family never gave up hope. What is not known to the family is that a dryad abducted the individual. The boy would never be found alive. In 1996, a hiker with ties to the morticians stumbles upon the body of the missing individual. Dryads capture young children, though typically they have another cryptid do the abducting for them. That does not seem to be the case in this situation. The individual did not age a single day, even after death. The capabilities of dryads are not very well known, as encounters with them are exceedingly rare. However, there is a record of an autopsy conducted on a dryad. Cryptid autopsy. Dryad. Age unknown. Name unknown. The specimen is measured at 5 feet and 6 inches in height. Her complexion appears tan, but closer inspection indicates that the skin is actually very fine bark, which is sturdier than normal tree bark. Incisions with regular equipment is virtually impossible, and typical cryptid countermeasures fail to inflict any impact. Woodworking equipment was brought in and a rudimentary autopsy was given, but the equipment required frequent repairs due to overheating of the engines or blunting of the blades involved. While the specimen is humanoid, the weight is significantly higher than originally suspected. 438 pounds of mass compressed into an athletic build. No digestive organs could be discerned, but analysis of the hair fibers indicated some form of moss, which gives weight to a photosynthesis style of nourishment. Musculature almost seems human, except appears to be constructed of wood. It is nearly impossible to gauge physical capabilities, as at the time of death, the wood appears to have hardened. No skeletal system as traditionally seen, though some form of human exoskeleton can be deduced from thin but extremely durable branches throughout the sample's body. With no digestive tract, it is impossible to deduce if these cryptids require other forms of nutrition or if they eat for any other reason. The discovery of this sample was borderline miraculous. A solo hiker happens to overhear a Gaelic phrase being recited where the body was discovered. Intrigued at recognizing the language, but confused as to the intent. The hiker tried to administer first aid, but found the skin and musculature too rigid to budge. The weight was far more than what the hiker was prepared to contend with, so made a call via satellite phone. Anomalous phrases triggered mortician protocol, and an asset was dispatched from the local area to assist the hiker. During the statement given, the Scottish tourist explained that they heard a Gaelic phrase being repeated in a slow tone. Wood for life, youth from the young. It struck the hiker as some odd druid phrase, but was unable to conclude any solid connection. The asset reported that he felt observed while he moved the body himself to a mortician transport after the hiker gave his statement. 411 body. Suspected cryptid involvement. Anomalous behavior confirmed. This one is odd for a fair amount of reasons. While the identity wasn't initially confirmed, the body was able to provide answers that could be verified through other means. The body was seen prone in a clearing during another SNR operation. The person who located the body reported it to his quadrant supervisor. The regular mortician who conducted the autopsy of the body, who was not the intended target, noted a complete lack of human organs, along with no apparent cause of death. Nothing seemed out of the ordinary except for the lack of brains, heart, liver, and lungs. No signs of deterioration and no indications of forced removal. The organs were simply not there. It wasn't until the coroner mused aloud the identity of the corpse that it sat up. Suspecting this may have been an involuntary reaction, the doctor seemed to sense something odd about the situation. It just didn't feel right. The coroner asked one question to the corpse before contacting the network. Do you know how you died? The corpse nodded in response. Once the coroners took over the case with an appropriate dummy corpse, the coroner selected for this body questioned the body after determining that it could only answer closed questions. Over several hours, the following information was obtained. The person went missing in 1791. He was with friends and family. He was not from the woods where his body was found. He was called away by something. He knows he has a name, but he does not know what it is. He was Native American. He knew that his friends and family were looking for him. He was unable to reach out to them. He does not know why that was. He doesn't remember eating after his disappearance. He has not been able to contact any other human being until his body was allowed to be recovered. He knows that something made him into what he currently is, but he is not able to identify it. After the long interview, this body was walking slowly to the 411th wing and placed with the 43 other bodies to stand there until further questioning. I'm sorry I was no longer able to provide further additions to my archival work. So this is my way of passing on the baton. Whether you decide to pick it up, Harold, is entirely up to you.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.